The title of this morning's message is Knowing the Good Shepherd. Knowing the Good Shepherd. Now, just to give you a little background as we go into this section of Scripture, is that hostility towards Jesus was increasing. As Jesus came to the final portion of his ministry on earth, the hostility towards him continued to grow, to escalate, to get to the point to where, well, the pinnacle of it all was the pinnacle of it all. It was the cross that he came to. The elite were upset within the church towards him. They were polarized by his parables. They were on polar ends, you could say. You know, some said that he was a good man. And others said that he was possessed by a demon, he was a blasphemer, and he was one that was deserving of death. And here in chapter 10, we have Jesus continuing to make statements that enrage the religious leaders because he makes it very clear that he's God. But he kind of slowly goes at it in chapter 10. He starts out with talking about being the good shepherd. He talks about being the door, about him being the door. And then he comes along and he progresses to the point to where he is saying, I am God. I am. Now, 75% of this chapter is dedicated to the use of shepherding terminology. Beautiful terminology. I mean, just to hear the words, I am the good shepherd, is something that just calms the heart, doesn't it? As you hear the words come off the pages of Scripture, you hear those words, and it just puts you in a different place. You know, you could have a horrible week that has just been chaotic and turned upside down, and you come to those words, and it just calms you. It's soothing. I am the good shepherd. And so 75% of this chapter is in using the terminology of the relationship between a shepherd, the true shepherd, and the sheep. Now, those listening would understand. You see, in those days, shepherding was something common, something that you saw in everyday life. You understood what a true shepherd was and what a hired hand was. And so they knew exactly what Jesus was talking about, the truth, really, of who Jesus is and who he truly was. We need to pay close attention as we go through this section. We need to pay really close attention because just as Jesus began this section by saying, truly, truly, remember I've told you before, truly, truly, or verily, verily, or most assuredly, depending on your translation of Bible, what he's saying is, listen, come close. Listen to what I'm about to say because this is very important. I want you to focus on what I'm saying, the words that I'm speaking, and I want you to understand what I'm saying. And so he draws us close. As he's drawing the crowd close, he draws us closer. And we listen with open hearts, with willing spirits, to receive what he wants to tell us. So he first wants to demonstrate to us by way of words what it is to, how it is that we are to identify the true and also how to identify the false. So let's read the first six verses here of chapter 10 in the Gospel of John. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Verse 6. This figure of speech Jesus used with them But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Let's pray. Father, oh Lord, we come to you right now. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you have explained all of these things to us. We thank you even more so for the Spirit who indwells us, that he would give us understanding of these scriptures. Lord, we have the benefit of knowing what comes before and what comes after. But Lord, allow us to be in the place of those who were there with Jesus, so that we may better understand how it was that some people were scratching their heads while others were understanding fully what was being said and still being rebellious. Father, may we not be those people. I pray, Lord, that you would not only give us understanding, Lord, but that you would break our spirits and that your Spirit would come alive in us. And so, Father, speak to us this morning. Continue to mold and shape us into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. And thank you that you are the Good Shepherd. We commit this time into your hands and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, knowing the Good Shepherd, the first point in these first six verses is know the true shepherd to know the false. We see a contrast here that illustrates for us and helps us, the listeners, to understand how to discern between the true shepherd and the false shepherd. That's something very important. Remember, he draws us to himself. He says, verily, verily, most assuredly, come close. Listen to this. It's very important. Why? Well, remember that we're talking about sheep and a shepherd. The sheep are some of the most dumbest animals in the world. So it's not really, you know, something good to be called a sheep. You know, a sheep, a little lamb, so cute, so innocent, is prone to wander, as the song says, as the hymn says, right? We're prone to wander. What? Where? Oh, just around the house? No. We're prone to wander into danger, even off of cliffs, into areas we do not belong. So draw close. Listen closely. And I pray that the Lord also helps you to identify where you are as a sheep. Because you're somewhere. And I pray that the Lord just reveals that to you. Where are you? Are you in the fold? Are you outside of the pen? Where are you? Are you walking down a road you should not be walking down? Where are you? Jesus begins this section with these words, and so we are to gather around. Notice with me that it's important how one enters where the sheep is something that we are to pay attention to. How the shepherd comes, we need to pay attention to. Because before we point out how the other false shepherds can enter in, let's just place a marker where Jesus does. Jesus simply says the true shepherd will come in through the front door. The front door. Because the gatekeeper knows him and opens the door for him to come in for his sheep in the sheepfold. So this implies that not only do the sheep know the true shepherd, the good shepherd, but also the gatekeeper. Something very important to understand here. The gatekeeper. Who's the gatekeeper? Let me just break this down for you, because there's a gatekeeper, there's the shepherd, there's the sheep, but there's also the wolves. So this is not a wolf at this point, can be, but it's not a wolf jumping in. It's not a wolf coming in through the front door, but it could be. Who is this? We'll understand who this is as we continue on. Verse 29 says, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. My Father who has given them to me. So who's the gatekeeper? God. He opens the gate. He says, Son, those are yours. He gives them to the Son. Right? It's very clear in Scripture that this is indeed the truth. The shepherd has the door open for him, and he comes in through the front door. God's not going to open the front door for just anyone. He only gave them to the Son, and so we need to understand that it's the Son that who is the good shepherd and comes in through the front door. Now, he's the owner of the house, so he enters through the front door. If he was a thief, if he was a robber, if he was someone who, well, didn't belong to the house, then he wouldn't come in through the front door. He'd come in through a window. He'd crack open the back door. He would come in through all sorts of different ways, but not through the front door. So the shepherd's way of entry is very important. Regarding the sheep, Jesus says that the sheep hear the voice of the shepherd. Have you ever been in a crowded area? And maybe if you're married here and you've become separated from your wife or from your child, and you're hearing, and above everyone else's chatter, and it's just chatter, right? It's just going, it's going, it's going. All of a sudden you hear the voice of someone familiar. You hear your wife, you hear your husband, you hear your child. Have you ever been in that situation? I know in a busy place, I can hear. I remember when my kids were small, they were little, and they were babies, and I could identify their cry over everyone else's. Right? It's like, oh, that's my boy. That's my boy. Why? Because you know their voice. You hear the others, but you know theirs. Why? Because you've spent much time with them. You know them intimately. You've heard their voice day in and day out. You want to learn, you want to know how to hear God's voice. It's like, I have people tell me, I don't hear God's voice. I can't hear it. You want to know how to hear it? This is very difficult, very profound, but I think you'll get it. Starts like this. You open this book and you read. That's it. You open this book that God's given to us and you read. I'm not a good reader. The prerequisite was not to be a good reader. It was just to read. Right? Just read. One verse. Two verses, pretty soon God will give you the desire and the passion to just consume more and more and more. And it'll be this insatiable appetite to just take in of God's word. Why? Because it nourishes the soul. Why? Because this is what we are to graze on as sheep. You know, just go to it. Just go. Go. It's there. Just go. This is it right here. And you know what? Above the voices and that are all around us, media and friends and coworkers and problems and all of that, guess what'll happen? Guess whose voice you'll hear above all of that? Oh, my Father's voice. There it is. I can hear it. In those types of situations, what'll happen is a verse will come up. If you ask, if you lack in wisdom, in James it says, ask without doubting, and he will give to you without holding back anything. He will give to you. Here you go, son. Here you go, daughter. It's all yours. I'll give you understanding. But listen to my voice. I'm speaking to you through my word. It's all there. So the sheep hear the voice of the shepherd. Secondly, they follow the shepherd because they know his voice. So you follow that voice. It's like that child lost in the crowd. It's like you being separated from your spouse. You know, you follow that voice. You may not see them at that time, but you follow the voice, right? This is all terminology that's used for sheep and shepherds. Right? The sheep know the voice of the shepherd. And although they may not see him over this hill, they hear and they'll follow the voice and go to the voice. But they know that they are safe as he leads them out also of the fold and into the pasture. Remember, as we read there, he goes into the fold. And once he gathers all his sheep, then he leads them out of the fold. Out of the fold. Well, where to? We'll learn that in a second as well. But they know, and this is why they follow, that they can trust the good shepherd. There's no harm to fear, and they receive great care. Great care. The sheep are content in the care of the shepherd. Trust. Trust is the reason a child follows a father. It's the reason a child follows a teacher. It's the reason a player follows a coach. And it's the reason a soldier will follow his commander. Trust. We see from verse 4 that the sheep follow the voice or the call of the shepherd. And there's trust. You know, the Lord, the good shepherd, is one who you can trust with your life. You know, man is fallible, aren't we? Follow me and I'll lead you into a ditch at some point. That's why I tell you, hey, listen, always follow the good shepherd. Always point to him, not to any man, not to any system, nothing like that. It's follow the Lord. Go to him. You know, if you come to me with an issue, if something's going on in your life, it's not that I don't want to solve all your problems, but it's that I don't want to solve all your problems. I don't. I know someone who you can go to and learn from, and he'll lead you to understand where it is that you need to maybe grow, do away with, change. It's the good shepherd. He is trustworthy. He is faithful 100% of the time. So the sheep follow that trustworthy voice or the call of the shepherd. But this implies that the shepherd is talking to the sheep, because you have to be able to hear a voice in order to follow it. He's speaking to us all the time. A good shepherd is constantly in communication. Well, who hears the voice of the shepherd? There's 100 sheep. Who hears the voice of the shepherd? Those who are closest to him, right? Physically, right? And so we, as I told you earlier, I point you to the Word of God. Those who are closest, listen, let's just be practical, physically to the Word of God are those who hear his voice more clearly. Number 3, the sheep are found in the sheepfold. I know that's something obvious, right? Maybe something insignificant, but it's not. The seeming innocence of a lamb may draw us to conclude that they only do what they're told to do and follow each other very closely, but that's not the case, is it? The sheep don't. There's some who go off and do their own thing. There are. They look very innocent, but remember, they're dumb. They're just, we are. And I'm going back and forth between, hey, this is the story, this is something that Jesus put out as an illustration. But we know that he's talking about himself and his sheep, right? There are some who will stray and like to be outside of the fold. Listen, this doesn't just endanger themselves, but it also endangers those who follow them out of the fold. Follows them out. They may come back to the fold, but only to draw more to go out. Have you ever caught a stray dog? In fact, you still have them. But there are some stray dogs that cannot be penned up. They can't be kept. They will do anything. They'll chew through walls. They'll dig under gates. They'll climb the gates. They'll do anything to get out. As soon as you open up the gate, they're gone. You're like, wow, Skippy, I just had you for a week, and then now you're gone. I fed you every day, took care of you, bathed you, and now you're out. You know, some just won't stay. Just won't stay. But what happens is, if you keep them in there long enough with your other dogs, guess what will happen? They'll show the others how to get out as well. Oh, wow. I didn't even think of digging under that fence. But that looks like fun. Wow, so really you just hit that latch up with your nose and out you go. Yeah, that's it. There's no lock. Yeah, they'll show your other dogs how to get out. Now, sheep do the same. It's like, remember, our mentality. You see one go out, and you're like, see another one go out? Well, maybe they got something, right? There's danger. And then the rest of the sheep, there's unrest. Unrest. They get nervous. They'll get nervous, not eat well, not be able to rest well. It's like, hey, what's going on here? You know, you see one sheep go out, the other sheep go out, and Bill's thinking, man, I ought to go out too, right? Bill the sheep. You know, I should go out too, maybe experience a little of the outside of the fold here. The world. Go out there, just dabble, maybe on the fringes at first. But maybe I ought to go out as well. For the rest of the fold, let me tell you that the rest of the sheep become nervous. Don't eat well. Don't rest well. That's a fact. That from a shepherd to a sheep, from someone who's actually been a shepherd, you know, I've read these books to where they say the rest of the sheep are a nervous wreck. And it takes a lot of time to just bring them back to a place of rest, to where they start eating well, start resting well, as they see that there is no danger. The sheep of the fold are in the fold and are content with being in the fold. Now regarding the shepherd does several things. Comes through the front door, enters through the front door, calls a sheep by name, and leads them out. The shepherd will speak to a sheep. He doesn't remain silent. Secondly, the shepherd will call his sheep by name. He knows his sheep personally. And the shepherd will lead his sheep out, but only his own. He knows where they need to go to find good pasture. Now, this chapter is from the perspective of a shepherd. But you know Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is the perspective of a sheep, of a lamb. Looking at the shepherd. Two different perspectives, two different views. But listen to this. Psalm 23, 1 through 3 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." He. But listen, he can't do anything in your life unless you surrender. You submit to his authority. He can't do anything. He won't force you. He makes me to lie down. Well, he could make you to lie down in different ways, right? But really the best way is to just surrender. Say, he's my shepherd. As I read his word and I hear his voice and he speaks to me, I am willing to do and follow and allow him to lead. Again, all of this requires intimate contact with the sheep. For the sheep to know the voice of the shepherd needs to speak to his sheep. Now speaking, sometimes it's just the shepherd's presence, his posture or his tone that alerts and speaks to a sheep of danger. You know, you've seen, again, I love dogs, so let's go back to dogs. Dogs or other animals, what happens when they hear something that is unfamiliar or something that sounds like danger? They stop, don't they? They stop. They look. They listen. And just that, like if someone just stops and looks like out towards a different way, right? You're like, what are you looking at, right? Animals do the same thing. You know, one stops and looks and is alert, like, what's going on over there? The rest of them are like, what's going on here? Right? Sometimes it's just the shepherd's presence, his posture, his tone that alerts and speaks to a sheep of danger, to be alert, serves as a gentle reminder to follow closer, going through certain passages. Sometimes you hear something, and it's not to run away. It's actually at that point that you need to actually draw closer to the shepherd. It's not away. Away for a sheep is dangerous. It's deathly. Deadly. You know, it's not somewhere to be. As you hear danger, as you see something, and you see the posture, right? You've read the word, you know the word, and you're like, you know, I don't know what that was, but I don't think it was right. It's not for me to go away, but to draw closer to the shepherd. Draw closer to the shepherd. Now, knowing the shepherd like that would require a mutual investment in the relationship by both the sheep and the shepherd. Mutual attention to the nuances of the shepherd. All those little details, right? To know him. Such a special way. To be following him. It's like knowing someone so well. Those of you who have been married for a long time know that just the look of your spouse, you know something's going on. You may even know what's wrong by just the look on their faces. I pray that we become so intimate with the Lord that we can look into the face of God, understand our surroundings, and just know this isn't right. Walk away. This isn't right. Walk away. Why? Because you already know. You're very well aware of the dangers. And just at the first notice, the first sound of danger, that you know that you need to draw close to the Lord. It's just automatic. It's just automatic. I read something the other day that said this. Quote, Satan knows your name, but calls you by your sin. Jesus knows your sin, but calls you by your name. It was, I think it was tweeted or something like that, but I thought, you know what? That's exactly what happens. Because we see in the verses that we just covered that the good shepherd calls his sheep by name. Does he know you by name? Does he know you by name? I pray that he does. We ought to be like the Bereans of Acts chapter 17. Verse 11 says, Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. That's what we ought to be. Students of the word, right? I always say that. Be a student of the word of God. Know the word. Know the voice of God. Know when he's speaking. Now, the false. They are called thieves and robbers. A thief is someone who, takes things. It's not in an aggressive manner. Maybe shoplifting, that's a thief. But then you have robbers. Robber speaks of an aggressive act that may include the harm of other persons, other people, to get what they want. That's a robber. He's willing to do whatever it takes. To get what he wants. The true shepherd enters by the door. A false shepherd jumps the fence, cuts the fence, digs under the fence, blows the fence up, makes a false door even. Parachutes in, maybe even throws grenades, rocks, or drops false leaflets into the fold. It's warfare. Or he even plays a different message on a loudspeaker to confuse the thoughts of the sheep. Psychological warfare. Just listen to the radio. Now, if you have kids and they want to listen to something that they ought not be listening to, Dad, Mom, I just like the beat. I don't listen to the words. Sorry, that's a lie. I know probably you didn't know that, right? I don't listen to the words. Guess what? This is an age-old tactic of warfare. If you play over the loudspeaker enough, a certain message, it kind of impacts what people think. That's why they used it in warfare. They knew that the psyche responds to that. You hear it enough, it'll mess you up. Listen, people, this is warfare. Okay? And we need to understand that we are sheep. That sometimes we fool ourselves. Remember, right? We're sheep. And we convince ourselves that it's okay. And if that doesn't work, sometimes even that false shepherd, and this is where I was telling you, there's that contrast, but at the same time, it could be, that a wolf will come in and do this, right? If that doesn't work, then the false shepherd will dress like a sheep and pick the sheep off from within. He'll just come in, drawing them to himself and then slowly killing them off one by one. One by one. Killing, killing, killing. The thieves and robbers are also called strangers, and the sheep are supposed to be able to discern a stranger and not follow them. But we know that some sheep do, and they are led to their own fall. Now, I read something in this book here. It's called The Good Shepherd and His Sheep. It's a book by Philip Keller. Maybe you've read the other one, which is A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. By the way, great books. But this is what we're talking about here. And I'll read straight from here. But broadly, all of these strange and false concepts are based on the following themes. Strangers. False. Number one, humanism. Man is a master of his own destiny. He is a supreme being in the universe. There is no superior power or intelligence to which he need appeal. Number two, materialism. The chief end of life is the attainment and acquisition of tangible values. The measure of a man's success is not the quality of his character, but the quantity of things he has accumulated or knowledge, human knowledge, he has acquired. Thirdly, scientism. Only that which can be subjected to the scientific method of examination is real. It must be evaluated empirically on the basis of our five fallible finite senses. Any dimension of divinity or deity is ruled out as invalid. Number four, atheism. Insists that there cannot be such a being as God. All that exists does so by pure chance. Existence which is evolutionary has neither purpose nor meaning nor direction. Number five, religionism. Man's blind, unguided, groping after God. The wild guessing at what God may be like. An abortive attempt to interpret the character and conduct of God from the distorted viewpoint of a man still in the darkness of his own sin and despair. Number six, spiritism. All of the occult, including demonism and satanic emulation. This includes all aspects of contact with the realm of evil spirits in opposition to God our Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. And number seven, higher criticism. In Christian circles, it denies the authenticity of God's Word, the deity of Christ, the necessity for the redemption and reconciliation of sinful men to a loving God. The false. It's very clear. Those are false. False shepherds, not going in through the front door, always deceiving. They'll bring you in. Some of these religions, false religions, will bring you in through the Bible and introduce you to another book. That's how they do it. They'll take the Word of God, but just twist it a little bit. False. How about distractions within a church? Hey, that's a great way to get someone focused, not on the Lord. If I were to tell you, let's see, let me find a flaw. Right here, there's this little thing. I have no clue what it is, but I've always looked at it, and I've wondered what that is. I have no idea, but it's there. Right there. Can you see it? Maybe someone can explain it. Maybe research it. See, from here on out, you're going to come into this place right here, and you're going to look at, what is that? Well, what is Pastor Roll talking about, right? Distractions. What happens is, listen. Most assuredly, verily, verily, listen to this, okay? Very closely. Sometimes we can distract each other, okay? We can point something out on the wall, and although you don't see it at that point, right then and there, trust me, you will continually look at that wall and search it out. What's wrong with that wall? I thought it was fine, but what's wrong with that wall? And then you can go closer. And then you start telling other people, hey, what's on that wall? I don't know. I don't see anything wrong with that wall. No. You, come over here. Check this out. And what happens is it serves as a distraction to what's a priority. As sheep, we can do that. We can point people, instead of he who is flawless, we point people to look for a flaw that's on the wall and is meaningless. Be careful, sheep. I'm talking to me too. Be careful not to look for the flaw, but for the flawless one. And the distraction is not just for the sake of distracting you, but there's an agenda that goes far beyond an innocent game. These distractions make you unaware that they are slowly taking everything you once possessed. You know that thieves use this as a tactic? They distract you. They have you looking somewhere else, paying attention, bump, you're done. Your wallet's gone. You're looking somewhere else. Should have been paying attention. They've used that. They distract you. But there's an agenda. Well, what's missing? Well, let's do an inventory. Is your love of people missing? Wow, it's not there. You were distracted. Contentment with Christ. It was right here. It's gone. Serving God with joy. Yeah, that's gone. You're distracted. You were pulled off in a different direction and didn't pay close attention to the flawless one. You're somewhere else. And if you find yourself here, then you've been robbed. But if you're truly Christ's, here's what you need to do. Call on the shepherd. Remember, over the hill. Remember I told you. You hear the voice of the shepherd. Oh, I hear him. Call out to him. Oh, he'll answer you. Just go to that voice. Open the Word of God. I'm not there yet. That's okay. Just open the Word of God. You'll get there. You'll have not a feeling, but a contentment, a joy that no one can explain to you, but just that presence with the shepherd. All of these things have been robbed from people at some point or another. Call out to him, cry out to him, get in the Word, get on your knees, and go to him. There's nothing that's stopping you. Nothing at all. If you've been robbed, then you need to go. Get back in the fold. Get going towards the voice of the shepherd. And now verse 6 tells us that with all of this said, the people still didn't understand what Jesus was saying to them. And I'm going to leave it right there.